So we might think that the reason why Sukkot is placed after Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is just coincidence, because the Shalosh Regalim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. There is a question about why Sukkot falls out when it does. The standard answer that we're used to hearing since we're little kids is that, well, really, Sukkot was supposed to be during the springtime, but sitting in a sukkah during the springtime would not show any mitzvah of sukkah. People all the time would sit outside in booths or go and sit in your Florida room in the back or your porch, your enclosed porch. So going out to a sukkah that time of year wouldn't show any particular mitzvah of sitting in the sukkah. So therefore, it was scheduled in the fall. It was scheduled in the fall so that it's cold outside, so it's not normal to go outside in a booth. So now, therefore, we understand that you should sit in the sukkah, and you're showing that you're doing it for the sake of the Rabbanu Shalom, for the sake of the mitzvah. So that's one answer that's given to the question. The Vilna Gaon has a different answer, and the Vilna Gaon's answer actually, so even according to that answer, so there's no necessarily any inherent connection between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. They just wanted to make it in the fall, so they made it in the fall. It's cooler. That's it, no connection. But the Vilna Gaon gives a different answer as to why Sukkot is celebrated when it is, which speaks a little bit about the connection between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur on the one hand and Sukkot on the other hand. And actually, according to the Vilna Gaon, Rav Huttner develops a beautiful idea, most of which we're going to speak about tonight. Rav Huttner, the former Rosh Hashiva of the Yeshivas Chaim Berlin, one of my Rebbe's, studied in Karen Biavna. I studied under Mendel Blachman. Mendel Blachman was a founder of Yitzhak Huttner. So Rav Huttner wrote a svarim called Tachat Yitzchak. In one of his, in a few of his svarim, he develops a beautiful idea about the connection between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, which has to do, a lot of it is based on this growth. Let's take it a few steps back before we head in that direction. What's this whole idea of, is it really significant to know why we sit in Sukkot? Is it really significant to know? The Gemara has a machlokas. Machlokas. Is it because of Anane HaKavod? Is it to remember the clouds of glory that surrounded the Jewish people in the desert? Or is it because of Sukkot Mamish? They actually sat in booths. The Gemara has a dispute about this. Why do we sit in Sukkot? The question is, who cares? Very nice. The Gemara discusses. Does anybody really care? Does it have any halachic? Does it have any halachic significance? I mean, when you sit in Sukkot, so think of both. What's the big deal? Yeah, what's the halakhic significance?
Doesn't the Torah say something about, like, if you don't have in mind Torah holds non-Yakovah, if you don't have in mind non-Yakovah, you're not Yotzeh?
Very good. So we got a ringer here who's studied in DRS. He knows his stuff. So Lemaisa, it's the Torah, there's truly the Bach and his commentary on the Torah, but the Torah writes that it's interesting. This mitzvah is actually perhaps different than other mitzvahs. Generally speaking, by mitzvos, most Rishonim hold mitzvos ain tzrichas kavan. Right? The Gemara says, k'fo v'achol matzah is yatzah. If I force a guy on Pesach night to eat matzah, I ram it down his throat. I don't want to do what I don't want to do. He forced the matzah down his throat. The Gemara assumes that he's yotzah. Mitzvos ain tzrichas kavan. Or let's say, hatokeh l'shir, the Gemara says, if you're just blowing shofar because you enjoy the sound, you're not intending to be yotzah. The Gemara seems to say, hatokeh l'shir yatzah. The Rambam, though, seems to say that no mitzvah strichas kavan. I happen the Gemara says kafu v'achol matzah. That's because shekein nani yad hanada. You don't need kavan. And he answers up the other Gemara's mitzvah strichas kavan. But even if you hold mitzvah strichas kavan, we assume mitzvah strichas kavan. That just means the basic level of kavan, which means how much kavan do you need? You need to know I'm doing the mitzvah. God, I'm doing this for you. I'm blowing shofar. Why? Because you commanded me to do it. That's all you need to know. You have to know all the deep reasons behind the mitzvah of shofar. You don't lose. So, no, you have to know shofar is a mitzvah. I'm in shul listening to the shofar. I'm yotzei the mitzvah. That's enough if you hold mitzvah shofar's kavana. Or if you hold by matzah, you need kavana. So you have to know Hashem commanded. You have to know all the lumbas. But Elamai, so that's what the Bach writes, that sukkah might be different. Sukkah is actually important. So the Torah paskins that the reason why we sing the sukkah, the Gemara has a dispute. Is it sukkah's mamish? Or is it Anan Yaakovit? Is it because they sat in actual booths when they left? Or is it, was it to remember the clouds of glory that surround the Jewish people? The Torah says, you have to know which one. The halacha is, it's the clouds of glory. It's not Sukkot Mamish. Why is that significant? It's significant because the Torah says when it comes to this mitzvah, Laman Yedu Dorosechem Ki Basukos Oshaftis B'nei Yisrael Bo'otzios HaMeretz Yisrael. It says, right, Mishmachtem, right, you should sit the sukkah, Chag HaSukos Taslachos Shevatz Yomim, and the Torah says in Parashas Emor, right, Laman Yedu Dorosechem Ki Basukos Oshaftis B'nei Yisrael Laman Yedu Dorosechem Ki Basukos Oshaftis B'nei Yisrael. I want you to sit in the sukkah because I want all future generations to know that I put you in sukkah. So when it comes to sukkah, the bach rice, when it comes to the mitzvah of sukkah, the reason of the mitzvah is actually more important. If you hold mitzvah tzrichas kavana, it's not enough when you're sitting in the sukkah just to know that I'm sitting in the sukkah. But I have to know also what the sukkah is commemorating. What's that? Ananei HaKavod. The Gemara has a dispute, but we pass it. The Torah says we pass it, and the reason is Ananei HaKavod. And the bach says this, that this is the higher level of kavana that's required. Some say it even is ma'akev b'di'evan. Bikur Yaakov writes that way. One of the Achronim writes that if you don't have this kavana, you're not even yotzei in the mitzvah b'di'evan. We don't pass in that way. The Prima Gadim and the Mishnah Berurah, we don't pass in that way. They pass him. The Prima Gadim should pass in that l'chadchila, the best case scenario, in other words, the way to be mekayim the mitzvah, b'shleimusa, the best way possible is that when you're sitting in the sukkah, you should be thinking, not only I'm hereby being Mekayim the mitzvah of sitting in sukkah, but I'm also being Mekayim the mitzvah of that I'm also thinking as part of the kavanah required for this mitzvah, which some achronim say is even ma'akev b'di'evan, but the Bach and the Mishnah Berurah, the Prima Gadim write that at least l'chadchila, it's part of the mitzvah to be Mekayim the mitzvah in its most appropriate way. You're supposed to also think of the reason behind the mitzvah, namely that this mitzvah was instituted to commemorate the clouds of glory.
So continuously, or just like
not continuously. One time when you make the bracha, Hashem can show himself leisha basukkah. You should be thinking, I hereby have intention to fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah, and also to recreate, to think about the reason why we're doing it is to remember that Ananei HaKavod. And this perhaps could explain some other halachas about sukkah also. So one of the things that could explain is that's what that Haran want to suggest is. There is a halacha of sukkah that mitzta'er is pater min ha-sukkah, which means that if you're not comfortable in the sukkah, if you're not comfortable, so you're exempt. Right? I used to joke with the kids, can you imagine if a mitzta'er was pater from bris milah? Right? I used to joke, right? Yeah. Normally we assume that, what kind of business is this if a mitzvah causes you like too much anguish, so you don't have to do it? That's crazy. Okay, so along those lines, it seems that I mean, let's say if you don't like to eat matzah, I mean, you still have to eat matzah, right? Even if you don't like matzah, it doesn't matter. If you don't like matzah, you got to eat matzah anyway. So, but the idea for and some of the Taz writes that an ovel is patur min ha-sukkah. He writes an ovel or a cholah, even though that guy's not mitzdar because of the sukkah, he's mitzdar wherever he's going to be. So some want to say the pshat and why mitzvah is part of the sukkah is because if part of the mitzvah of sukkah is really experiencing the clouds of glory, if you're not in a state of mind to think of that, so you're putter. That's what some want to say. That mitzvah is part of the sukkah is because there's a particular mitzvah here to like focus and concentrate on what the idea behind the mitzvah is. It's not just stop like I eat matzah or I blow a shofar. Although the Rambam holds that Rav Soloveitchik thought that's why shofar is also higher level, but Rav Soloveitchik thought that's why shofar is al seder habrachos. Kiyas have to be zichro and true. You have to also mention that there just mitzvahs shikos kavanah is not enough. You have to actually have a higher level. But like by other mitzvahs, it's enough just to have intention. I know that I'm doing the mitzvah, and I don't like it. But here it requires a higher level of concentration. Perhaps one could suggest that the reason why mitzvah, someone who's in pain, is putting, is raining, you don't sit in the sukkah. Why? Because if you can't concentrate on it, someone suggests, if you can't concentrate on the idea behind it, then there's no point in doing the mitzvah. That's what some want to suggest. That could be a reason for that mitzvah.
But how does that work with respect to differentiating between the first night and the rest of the night?
So that's a whole discussion. We'll see. If you remind me at the end, it's a very long answer. It's about a 7-minute answer. So I believe that I will try to relate
so
to that.
The point to this is sukkos means Ananei HaKavod?
Yes, that's the way we paskin. That's what Achronim saying. We'll see why it's relevant. So it's relevant to one halacha, stam, because of the Bach and the Prima Gadim. The Mishnah Berurah writes, Jay, the Mishnah Berurah writes that l'chadchila, when you make the bracha l'eshi basukkah, you're supposed to not only just think of the I hereby being Mekayim the mitzvah sukkah, l'chadchila, you're yotzi if you don't do this. But lechatchila, you're supposed to also think about the reason behind the mitzvah. And this reason behind the mitzvah also is relevant to it's relevant to one other halacha, two other halachas. One other halacha also, the first Mishnah in Sukkah says that a sukkah that's higher than 20 amos is possible. The sukkah is higher than 20 amos. Right? I always wondered about the Baba of the Sukkah in Bar Park. You ever go to visit the Baba of the Sukkah? It's pretty big. I don't know. But anyway, the Mishnah says that a sukkah that's higher than 20 amos. So one of the opinions in the beginning of Sukkah says, so there's many opinions. There's three opinions in the beginning of Sukkah. Why is Sukkah above 20 amos? So one of them says that, of course, higher than 20 amos is low shelf of the Be'ena. People don't look that high. So since people don't generally look that high, so the whole point of the sukkah is to remind you, if you can't see the schach, so you're not yotze the mitzvah. The question is, why is it so? I mean, if let's say you know you built it, you know it's up there. But what's the special significance? You have to be able to see it. Why should you have to be able to see it? So a lot of people say the U.S. Kevin is right. So the Achronim want to say it's the same idea. That somehow that by sukkahs, understanding the mitzvah and knowing that you're sitting in a booth to remember the Anani HaKadosh, it's not enough just for you to know, I'm sitting in the sukkah. Somewhere up there there's a sukkah. You got to be focused on it. There's like an extra level of kavanah necessary. There's an extra level of awareness that you have to have by the mitzvah. So if it's above 20 amos, it's lo shalta be'edah. That's not called l'man yedu. It's not l'man yedu dorasim. You have to have yedi, you have to be able to see. That's what some of that Achronim want to say. So there are a number of halachos that apply to this. But the one that I want to focus on most is what I began with, and that is that understanding of the Zeichel Anani HaKavod, understanding that Zeichel could explain the connection between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. And I have for you on the source sheet here, there's a Medrash, there's a very famous Medrash. The Medrash seems to indicate that there's some connection between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur on the one hand, and Sukkot on the other. The Medrash says, Masha l'shnayim shenichnesu eitzel adayin, two people go to a judge, v'les anan yadin manu notzeach, we don't know who wins the court case. Elaman denosiv bayan biyade. The one who comes out with his weapon or with his weapon held up, anan yadin dehu nitzchay. So we know that he won. Kach Yisrael v'umos ha'olam bayan mekachkan lefnei Kadosh Baruch Hu b'Rosh Hashanah. So too the nations of the world and the Jewish people come and they argue against each other before Hashem and Rosh Hashanah. V'les anan yadin manotzach. We don't know who wins. When the Jews come out 15 days later on Sukkot and they're holding their lulavs, Anu Yodim the Yisrael inin nitzuchaya. So we know that the Jews win. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu commands the Jewish people to take the lulav and Esther. In terms of the specific details of what exactly this medrash means, maybe we'll have time at the end to discuss one or two possible explanations. But the main thing that I want to point out here is the Medrash seems to be already drawing some connection. There's some connection between something going on in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, which is resolved. There's some question that's going on in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, which is resolved on Sukkot. So what is this connection between Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? So between Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur on the one hand and Sukkot. What is this connection? We see from here that even though traditionally we only think of Sukkot as the third of the Shalosh Regalim, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, this Medrash seems to be alluding to the fact that Sukkot not only is the third of the Shalosh Regalim, in a certain sense is also the third of the Yom Noraim. It's also the third of the Yom Noraim. Well, we don't tend to think of it like that. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we think that's it. But Sukkot in some way, there's some connection. So what is that connection? So there's a Vilna Gaon. It's such a beautiful, beautiful gra who relates to this. It's not available digitally, so I photocopied it for you. Happen to have the gra sitter at home. Okay, maybe it's related to that. Good, some Hoshana Rabba thing. The din is still going. Yeah, the din is still going. Yeah, okay. Okay. I don't think that's what the gra is going to discuss, but we'll see in a second. Pick it up on the left column. He says, "V'gam hein neged dalet regalim." Look on the left-hand side. The Vilna Gaon is making drushes and analyzing the first four psukim of Shir HaShir. This is the Vilna Gaon's commentary on Shir HaShir. It's a very, very important grah, what he says over here. He says that the first four psukim of Shir HaShir are hinting at the four regalim. What are the four regalim? Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, and Shmini Atzeres. That's what he says. This is a pasuk. V'gam heim neged, look on the back, the eighth line on the left hand side. V'gam heim neged dal regalim. The first four psukim have to do with the four regalim. Ha'echa neged Pesach, she'amru shira. What's the first pasuk? Shir HaShirim Asher L'Shlomo. So, Shir HaShirim Asher L'Shlomo, he says that's a reference to Pesach. She'amru shira, because that's when Klal Yisrael sang shira. V'habeiz neged Shavuos, that's an easy one. Right? Yishakeni minishikos piu, ki tovim dodecha miyayim. So Chazal have darshan that pasuk as a reference to Limud HaTorah. Yishakeni minishikos piu, that Torah is supposed to be like Hashem gave us a kiss. Yishakeni minishikos piu, he kissed with us. When he spoke to us, the words of Torah was like a kiss for us. Ki tovim dodecha miyayim, that it's finer than fine wine. So that's Shavuos. Vagimelu neged Sukkis. That's a little harder. The third one is Shehuzecher. Now, look, what's the third pasuk? Right? What's the pasuk? The third pasuk of Shir HaShir, right? L'reach Shemanecha Tovim. So the reference about Shemen, the Gemara learns that from that pasuk about all the oils have to do with the oils that are in the Beis HaMikdash. So he says the third is Keneged the Beis HaMikdash. And we all know that the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash, is a reference to Sukkis. Shehu Zecher Lehekev Anane Kavod. Because Sukkis, we know, is Zecher Lanane HaKavod. Again, that's the way we pass it. Shehaya Talui Bibinin HaMishkan Kiyadua. That the Anane HaKavod was dependent upon the building of the Beis HaMikdash, like we all know. It's interesting, we all know it. What does this mean? So he explains. Well, look what he explains. What's the connection between the Anane HaKavod and the building of the Mishkan? What way is the holiday of Sukkot? What's the connection between Sukkot and Mishkan? So he says like this. Mizeh Yiturat, Sma Shehikshu. And this will answer the famous kasha that everybody asked. Lama Anachnu Osim Sukkot B'Tishrei. Here it is. The age-old kasha that we remember, that we've asked many times, that we're asked many times. So, he says, this will answer this, that where the question was asked. Why do we make Sukkot in Tishrei? Kaven shu neged hekef anane kavod. If we pass in, the reason why we celebrate Sukkot is to remember the clouds of glory. When did the clouds of glory come to the Jewish people? The clouds of glory came to the Jewish people when they left Egypt. When did they leave Egypt? It was in Nisan. And that's when they got the clouds of glory. They got the clouds of glory in Nisan, right? In the springtime. So why do we celebrate Sukkot in Tishrei? If Sukkot is to remember that Anan, they cover the clouds of glory came in Nisan. Avol Nira, listen to this brilliant calculation that only the Vilna Gaon could possibly make. Avol Nira, says the Vilna Gaon. Lefi, Shekisha Asu is a Egel, when the Jewish people worshipped the Egel Azov, Nistalku Ho'ananin. The Anane HaKavod left. V'oz lo chazru ad shizchilu lasus ha-mishkan. When did the Anane HaKavod return? The Anane HaKavod returned only when they started to build the Mishkan. The Anane HaKavod only returned when they started to build the Mishkan. Like Rashi seems to indicate over here, if you look at the board for a second, it's also source number 2 in your sheets. Rashi says that when they built the Mishkan, I'll get to that in one second. I'll cut to that one second. He says when they made the Egel, when they made Avonir Lefishik, Shasus Egel the Stalku Anonim. When they made the Egel, the Ananim went away. Ozlo Chazarat Shiskilas the Mishkan. And the Ananim HaKavod did not come back until they built the Mishkan. Achishilas the Mishkan. Until they started building the Mishkan. Umoshe Yarad Biyom HaKippurim. When did Moshe come down to achieve atonement for the Jewish people? Moshe Rabbeinu came down after he fought with Hashem.
Not at the same time that they built the Mishkan.
Wait a second. Listen to the Gra's calculation. Uno momento. Listen to what he says. What does it say? Moshe Yarad Biyom HaKippurim. Moshe came down in Yom Kippur with the second luchos, and Hashem said, right, you're forgiven, I gave you back the second luchos. Uvimacharas Yom HaKippurim Vayakel Moshe. It says in Parshas Vayakel, Vayakel Moshe, and Rashi says, Vimacharas Yom HaKippurim Vayakel. So on the 11th of Tishrei, Moshe got everybody together, Vayakel Moshe, and he commanded them to start collecting the gold and the silver for the building of the Mishkan on the 11th of Tishrei. Right? Vayhimi Macharas, says it by Yaakov. Uksiv, v'ha'am hevi onedava baboker, baboker. The people gathered together all the gold. How long did it take? Baboker, baboker.
What's that?
That's 2 days. Yud Beis and Yud Gimel. Uvi Yudala b'tishri notlu kol chacham levi Moshe zazav v'minyin u'mishkal. On the 14th, so all the gold was given over to the artisans and they said, don't bring any more. We have enough gold. We have tons of gold. Nobody should bring any more. And when did they start the building of the Mishkan, says the Gra? When must it have been? It doesn't say this anywhere. But the Gra says, when must it have been? 15th of Tishrei. Uvetesva v'schilu lasos. On the 15th of Tishrei, they started building the Mishkan. V'oz chazur anane akavo. Says the Vilna Gaon. That's when the clouds of glory returned to the Jewish people. Ulekach anu osim sukkis b'tesva b'tishrei. That's why we make sukkis on the 15th of Tishrei. Not like we learned, not like our children learned in school because it's cold outside. Okay, it's cold outside, but why the 15th of Tishrei? Says the Gra. Because the 15th of Tishrei was the day that The Anane HaKavod returned to the Jewish people. And they returned to the Jewish people because the Jewish people had done tshuva for the Chet Egel, and Hashem had forgiven them. Hashem had forgiven the Chet Egel. So it was the Anane HaKavod that returned to the Jewish people through tshuva, which is similar to the idea expressed in this Rashi, where after they built the Mishkan, so they said, Vayetzu Vayvarchu Esa'am. What did they say? He gave them, Moshe Rabbeinu gave them a bracha. I hope the Shechina now comes into the Mishkan. Why? Right? The first 7 days, which is right before Aleph Nisan, which what Meir was saying before. What do you mean? They didn't build a Mishkan in Tishrei. What are you talking about? It was in Nisan. The Shechina still didn't come. Moshe Rabbeinu. All the hard work that we did, all the hard work we did in building the Mishkan, that we want the Shechina to come, because we want to know that we got kapara. So again, one could say this is against the Gra because the Shechina didn't rest in the Mishkan, but the Gra is saying it is similar to this Rashi, where Rashi is saying that the reason they needed the Shechina to get to the Mishkan because they wanted to know that Hashem had forgiven them for the Chet Egel. In a similar vein, the Vilna Gaon says that the Anane HaKavod left when they sinned in the Chet Egel, and the Anane HaKavod returned at Tesav Tishrei. It was a celebration. The Sukkot was a celebration of Hashem on Yom Kippur, finally forgiving the Jewish people and giving them the second luchos, the second set of luchos, which was given, right? They got the first set of luchos, but those got smashed because the Jews sinned with the Chet Egel. Then Hashem on Yom Kippur gave them the second set of luchos because they had gotten kapara, Yom Slicha Mechil, Yom Shenitna B'Luchos Shnios. It's the day that Hashem completed his covenant again and decided to give it after tshuva. So it was in the Sinas HaTorah Toch Tshuva. And the Anane HaKavod that we celebrate on Sukkot are the Anane HaKavod that came back to Klal Yisrael after they had done tshuva. And because of this, Rav Putner suggests, based on a Rambam, right? Because of this, the obvious kasha is, we know that on all the shalosh regalim, there is an obligation of simcha. The samach to the chagim. On all the three regalim, on Pesach there's a mitzvah of simcha. On Shavuos there's a mitzvah of simcha. On Sukkot there's a mitzvah of simcha. So the obvious question is, why is only Sukkot called Zman Simcha Seinu? Why is Sukkot called Zman Simcha Seinu? There's a mitzvah in a Torah of Simcha on Pesach. There's a mitzvah in a Torah of Simcha on Shavuos. So Rav Hutner wants to know, why is Sukkot called Zman Simcha Seinu? So in all likelihood, it has something to do with this Rambam, the famous Rambam. I shouldn't keep saying famous. I'm sorry for saying that. I apologize. But the Rambam writes, right? Afal pisha kol hamoados mitzvah l'smach behen. You have it on your sheet in front of you, on the second part of the on the back of the page. Rambam. Afal pisha kol hamoados mitzvah l'smach behen. Even though it's a mitzvah to rejoice in every yontif. On Sukkot in the base of it, it was an extra simcha. What was that extra simcha that they used to have in the base of Migdash on the holiday of Sukkot? They used to have the ceremony of Simchas Beis HaShoeva. What would they do? What would they do? Shenema was smart to l'fei Hashem l'chem Hashem l'shem 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 You want to know where the whole source of Mechitza is? This is where the whole source of Mechitza in Shul is. That in the Beis HaMikdash, they used to go for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, and they used to make balconies for the women, because they didn't want the women and the men hanging out together at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva in the Beis HaMikdash. They made balconies. So the women would be up top. There was no Mechitza by the balcony, but they made balconies. So, they used to build these big balconies for the women. The men would be on the bottom. Kadesha lo yisarvo elu amelu. They wouldn't want any tarovis. So they wouldn't have the men and women mixing. Maschil nesmach mi motza yad derishin already. On the motza yad derishin was the first night they did it. The chen b'chol yom v'yom mimei chol shel moed maschil me'af she'aki v'tamet shel bein arbaim nesmach shah yom kol alayl. Party went all night long. And what would they do? So there was a massive party, as you know, right? We'll see in a second the Chassidim of Anshei Maisa. As you know, so there was this extra joyous celebration. One second. There was this extra joyous celebration in the Beis HaMikdash on the holiday of Sukkot. Even though there was a mitzvah of Simcha and Pesach and Shavuos, but somehow there was extra celebration. Why? And what was the nature? What was the nature of this extra celebration? So Rav Hutner wants to suggest, and again, this is not all suggested. But so question number one, why was there this special Simchas Beis HaShoeva? Why was this extra simcha? As you may know, the Mishnah says in Maseches Yuma, the Mishnah says, someone who didn't see Misha Lo Ra Simchas Beis HaShoeva Lo Ra Simcha Miyama. Someone who didn't see that rejoicing, this was like a simcha party to end all parties. It was a simcha like no other. This is the extra simcha. But why? What was so special about Sukkot that you had this extra simcha? Why do you have this? And he goes through, this is the Mishnah, right? It's just quoting the Mishnah. Fine. And it was massive fires and big fires. There was no courtyard in all Yerushalayim that wasn't lit up from the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Chassidim v'anshei Maisa, he miraked them b'fneihem. So there was a special dance for the Talmidei Chachamim. The Chassidim and Anshei Maisa used to go, Bavuka Shelo Shemideh. So I want to, again, so question number one is, why did they have this extra special simcha? Question number two. I want to show you from the Mishnah in Sukkah, what crazy ceremony they used to do in the middle of the Simcha space of Shoyim. Crazy ceremony. Mm. What would they do? So they kept on blowing the shofar. Then they got to. They would keep blowing the shofar until they got to the eastern gate of the Beis HaMikdash. A picture, right, if you're standing at the Kotel, which is the western wall, So let's say they went straight through the Beis HaMikdash, blowing, and then they came out on the other side, the eastern gate. Hafchu pnei mimizrach lamarav. They turned around and faced the Beis HaMikdash. V'amru, they said, Avoseinu shayu b'mokum hazeh. This is in the middle of the Simchas Beis Reva. In the middle of the greatest, joyous celebration that anyone who ever saw this never saw joy in his life. So what do they do in the middle of the joy celebration? They say like this. Our fathers who were in this place, Achoreim el Heichal, their backs were to the Beis HaMikdash, Upneim Kema, and they faced eastward, Umishtachim Kema LaShemesh. Our ancestors were in this place and they worshipped the sun. The Anu Laka Einenu. Rabbi Yehuda said they would say, Anu Laka U Laka Einenu. Very, very bizarre, we're putting our ass. Very, very bizarre practice. In the middle of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, they're talking about how our parents were idol worshippers. And they worshipped the sun, their backs into the Beis HaMikdash. But we're turning around and serving you, Hashem. Why interrupt the greatest joy in the Beis HaMikdash ever in Jewish history? Why interrupt the greatest joy in Jewish history and stop the ceremony in the middle and mention the sins of your ancestors? Number one. Question number three, really. So the Mishnah stated that who did the dancing at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva? Who did the dancing? The Gemara says, Chasidim v'anshei ma'aseh. Well, who were the Chasidim v'anshei? First glance just means, well, the rabbis did the dancing. Right, the rabbis. So the Gemara says, not exactly. Tana Rabbanan. Who were these Chasidim v'anshei ma'aseh, and what song did they sing? What was the song that they sang at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva? What was the song? It says, Tana Rabbanan, Yesh mehen omrim, some of them sang, Ashrei yaldusenu, shelo bisha ziknusenu. Blessed is us that when we were young, we didn't mess up so badly that we didn't embarrass ourselves when we were older. That was one of the songs. Elu chasin levanche maise. The yesh mehen omrim, some said, Ashrei ziknusenu, shekafras yaldusenu. Blessed is our old age that atoned for all the sins that we did as kids. Bizarre. Elu Bali Tshuva. It was a special dance, a special song in the Simchas Beis HaShoeva that the Bali Tshuva danced. Elu ve'elu Omrim. But both together, the Chasidim and Anshei Ma'aseh and the Bali Tshuva together would sing, Ashrei mi shelo chata. Blessed is he who hadn't sinned. Umi shechat, anyone who sinned, yashuv v'yimchalo. Let him do tshuva and he'll get repentance. Why are they singing this at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva? So, Rav Huttner suggests, what is the connection between Yom HaKippurim and Sukkot? What's the connection? I hope it's evident to you by now. Rav Huttner suggests, based on this gra that we said, the Vilna Gaon said, that Sukkot was the day that the Anani... Again, the Torah says you got to remember the Anani HaKavod. That's part of the mitzvah. Zeichel Anani HaKavod. Which Anani HaKavod? It says the Vilna Gaon, Dafka, the Anani HaKavod that came back to the Jewish people on the 15th day of Tishrei to show that they had done Tshuva, to show that they were atoned from the Chedera, they had done Tshuva. So that's why it had to be 5 days after Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, Hashem gave the second luchos to the Jewish people and showed them that they were forgiven. And 5 days later, they began to build the Mishkan, and the Mishkan was symbolic of the fact that Hashem's presence was going to come back to them. And when they started building the Mishkan, says the Gra, the clouds of glory came back mitoch tshuva. Says the Vilna Gaon, says Rav Huttner, why is Sukkot called Zman Simchas Seinu, even though every holiday has a mitzvah of Simcha? There's a mitzvah of eat meat and drink wine on Pesach and buy the women nice clothing, the mitzvah on Pesach, the mitzvah on Shavuos, all the children of the Simcha. So why is only Sukkot called Zman Simchas Seinu, says Rav Huttner? Because a Baal Tshuva has special Simcha. All of us, we're all Baalei Tshuva. I just went through Yom Kippur. There's a special joy associated with tshuva. So why did they stop the Simchas Beis Shoeva in the middle and say, our forefathers weren't like us, look what we are? They would say, what did Tadavka add to the joy of the moment? And why, who did the special singing? Who did the special singing, the special song? There's a special song in the Bali Tshuva at the Simchas Beis Shoeva. Was a special song, Ashrei Ziknasenu Shekafra Yadusenu. Elu Ve'elu would say, Ashrei Mishalo Chata, Mishalo Chata Yashav Yichalo. Said of Hutner, at the greatest simcha that ever happened, what were they rejoicing of? Tshuva. He says even beautifully that that's why Rabbeinu Yonah writes. That's why Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Shari Tshuva. Rav Hutner is medayik in this Rabbeinu Yonah. He wants to say that, you know, simcha shel mitzvah. Every mitzvah is supposed to be done with simcha. Every single mitzvah is supposed to be done with simcha. Rav Hutner says, every single mitzvah that's done with simcha, so the simcha is external to the mitzvah. It's external. It's just a nice way to do the mitzvah. I mean, if you're doing Hashem's will, and He wanted you to do this, so it's a good idea to rejoice when you're doing it. You're showing that you're actually happy to do the will of your Creator. So, by every mitzvah, you should do it with simcha every mitzvah. Says Rav Hutner, the relationship between simcha and tshuva, the mitzvah of tshuva, the relationship between simcha and tshuva, it's not just external to the mitzvah. He says when it comes to tshuva, simcha is an integral part of the mitzvah. If you read Rabbeinu Yonah carefully, what does Rabbeinu Yonah say? Of our adam al mitzvah slos hasev asa tshuva. If a person violates on a lavin, does tshuva yidag lavonav yichsav yichak lahil yom kippur? He should worry about this sin, but he should wait for Yom Kippur. Laman yisratz el Hashem yisparach. If a person violates mitzvah slos hasev and he did tshuva, it's not enough. Tshuva is not enough to be mechaper. He has to wait for Yom Kippur. So that he could be appeased, his relationship with Hashem could be repaired. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, and this is the idea about why we have a suda on Erev Yom Kippur. This is what it means that anyone who eats on Erev Yom Kippur, it's as if he fasted the ninth and the tenth and fasted. Why? By eating on Erev Yom Kippur, you can't eat on Yom Kippur. So by eating Erev Yom Kippur, you're showing how excited you are that you're about to get forgiven. Because you're showing your simcha. When the day of you getting back together with God is about to come, where He's going to forgive you, and you're going to be back together with Him. Ki hera simchaso b'giyas makaraso v'tielo le'eda al dagoso la'ashmaso v'yigono sav la'avono sav. The more you rejoice on Erev Yom Kippur, that shows how pained you were by the distance that was created between you and God because of the sin that you did. So Rabbeinu Yonah, Rav Hutner wants to be the daik in Rabbeinu Yonah to say that when it comes to tshuva, simcha is not just something that it's a nice way to perform the mitzvah. But actually, when it comes to tshuva, simcha is actually part and parcel of the mitzvah. Because tshuva, you're supposed to show your regret and your remorse. And the more happy you are as the day of forgiveness approaches, the more that shows that you were really so remorseful about your lacking. So what better way to celebrate the tshuva of Yom Kippur than with the simcha of Sukkot? So Rav Hutner suggests that Zman Simcha Seinu Sukkot celebrates the joy of being back together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is symbolized by Anani HaKavah, which came back on the 15th of Sukkot, and that's why the Simchas Beis Shoeva is that. So this is another halacha. That's why in the Shmon Esrei invention we say Zman Simcha Seinu. What's Zman Simcha Seinu? Every other simcha. So what says Zman Simcha Seinu is the simcha of tshuva, because that's a special joy, additional level of joy that we have celebrated on Sukkot. And this is another halacha that comes out of Anane HaKavo. Yes, Mayor.
The Grod touched on something that the holiday that is most intrinsically associated with Simcha is not Sukkos, it's Shmini Atzeres. That's the Iker, the whole Mahus of Shmini Atzeres is Simcha.
So you're touching, and I got to get back to your question, guys, but you're touching on, we'll close with your point, you're touching on the question of how related Shmini Atzeres is to Sukkos.
Yeah.
So
if it's according to the Gra, it's a separate regel. If it's a separate regel, that's
right.
kind of tough to...
So you remember, Meir, that the Gemara has, right, Shmini is called regel b'fnei atzmo as far as Pizar Keshav.
Right.
What does Pizar Keshav stand for? Pare, it's a separate karban. Zman, you say Shechianu. Reish, regel, which means that
in the Shmini
had a karban or one of them. Kuf is, yeah, that's carbon, I don't remember. Shin, if I remember? Keshav, Zak Keshav. So Meir, again, I always point out, it's called Shmini Atzeres, right? It's the eighth day or something. It's called Shmini Atzeres. So again, even in the Torah, there is this ambivalence. So as far as this issue is concerned, I see what you're saying, that the Gra considered it separate,
yeah.
But again, the whole Sukkos we say is Matzim Chasein.
Yeah, the separate puzzle.
The whole, okay, the whole, I hear what you're saying, the whole Sukkos holds Matzim Chasein. Josh asked the question, which I'm going to now relate to because I have some time at the end of the year. Josh asked, why is there a difference between, this is very relevant to the first night of Sukkos. Josh asked, why is there a difference between if it rains on the first night of Sukkos or the second night of Sukkos? A, there's a difference. And B, that's also... Is that what you asked?
Well, specifically as it relates to the whole theory of having the intent, the kavana, there shouldn't be a differentiation if you're going to have the kavana, why you don't have to sit in there the second night. That should be the same argument for the first night, but it's not the same argument for the first night, which means there has to be some different level of the first night, so the whole theory of having kavana during the time you're sitting in the sukkah to celebrate and understand what you're doing, etc.
So I thought you were asking a different question, which that won't take 7 minutes, but I thought you had a different question. But the answer to that question, I think, is that, again, only on the first night... On the first night, you have an obligation in that Torah that you have to sit. So the second night, the obligation is only midrabbanan because it's going to shame you. The first night is the night when min haTorah you have the obligations, because even though it says basukas teishas shivas yamim, there's no obligation. If you have a meal, it has to be in the sukkah. There's no obligation to have the meal. Only on the first night do you have an obligation to sit in the sukkah. That's why. You're supposed to wait for a long time. And it's also, well, actually, what is a little complex is this. So what are you supposed to do if it rains? So the first night, if it rains for a very, very long time, on the first night, let's say you wait for an hour and a half. An hour and a half. Ask a local if it's after, whatever you said. You're supposed to wait, some say an hour, some say an hour and a half, some say 2 hours. But some whatever, you wait an hour and a half, 2 hours. If you wait and it just does not let up, so I believe that we're asking that you should go out into the sukkah and just make kiddush even in the rain, and then just come inside.
Right. How is that consistent with this concept of kavanah?
Right. So that's because that's a question of. Yeah, that's why just the first night, because of tesvav. But he's asking. If Mitzdar is Patim in a sukkah, so why do you have to go on the first night even if it rains? Why do you have to go even on the first night even if it rains? So the answer is because I believe the answer is that it's because we are not sure whether Mitzdar totally means that you have no obligation whatsoever, or it's just a pitur in the sense that you don't have to have your meal there, but it doesn't mean that you don't, that sitting in the sukkah is not called, that sitting in the sukkah while it's raining is not called sitting in the sukkah at all. That's the question. The way I was saying is that it's not part of the sukkah, it just means you can't have the right kavana. We said that kavana might not be vacant
because it's
exactly
only in
Golos. Maybe
it's
even
only in Golos. In Eretz Yisrael, it's the first night because that's all there is.
I understand, but so that's an obligation to the Torah. So but the point is that this kavana that we said perhaps won't it's you not going to prevent it. Right, you want to fulfill that additional point. That's exactly the question. Is if you sit in the sukkah when you're mitzvah, is it not a key mitzvah of sukkah at all? It's like you're not like you're sitting in the house. Or no, you could say it's just not the fullest way of being the kind of mitzvah. So we wouldn't make a bracha. If you would go in there and make kids, you wouldn't say that to each other. Yes.
If a nanei kava is so integral to the sukkah, why is it not mentioned in the bracha or in kiddush or the yiratzo or something?
Right. So that I think good. Well, I think it is a little bit mentioned in the yiratzo, is it? What do we say in that? In that before you
accept the sukkah,
I think in that paragraph that you say it is mentioned. I think, if I'm not mistaken, it talks about it. I'm not sure. It definitely says the ma'akeinu door set of the sukkah shabbat, which we interpret to mean the nanei kava. So it is in the yiratzo, but you know you don't have to. You're obviously again. We pass it that the evet your yotzi without it. It's sort of a minority opinion. It's not like necessarily the majority opinion, but it's a minority opinion. And Mishmur quotes it. The Rebbe Gadol says that you're supposed to a higher level of kavanah to be yotzi more fuller sense. You're supposed to do it, but it's not marked with the evet. I guess that's why they make it
into the.
The Gemara has that discussion. It's in the Gemara. Two opinions in the Gemara. Kibasuka so shafi. You're saying, I was saying that that you think that isn't Pashup Shat in the Torah, Kibasuka so shafi, that it means booths? Isn't that Pashup Shat? I don't think so. I think that's the way we're always trained to read the Pasuk, but the Gemara actually has a dispute. If you look at, I think Rashi quotes it, if you look it up, I think Rashi quotes it on the spot over there. Rashi's one opinion says sukkas mamish. Again, sukkas mamish. I keep on sukkas or shabbos. So one opinion says sukkas means sukkas mamish, meaning it means what it says. But the other opinion says no, it doesn't mean that. The pasuk doesn't mean that. The pasuk means anamei akavod. But normally you say it's tamei mitzvah. Who cares about the reason for a mitzvah? By the way, just to close, this is one of my favorite topics. Is so here you have an interesting thing where the reason for the mitzvah could affect things about the mitzvah. Right? Normally we assume reasons are just nice things added on, but they don't affect the halachic outcome. So there are some cases where it is, and one of my favorite topics, which I've spoken about in the past, I think, is it's like Siva Sefer Torah. Somebody asked me this just recently. Yeah. Spoken about that. Did I speak about it recently?
No, I mean, probably years ago.
Someone asked me about it, but right, there's a Russian monopolist that says you're Mekayim the mitzvah of Siva Sefer Torah nowadays by buying Sfarim. Right, by buying Sfarim. Or by writing Sfarim. It sounds like, doesn't sound like an Orthodox position, right? As far as it's writing Sefer Torah. Oh, we're now with the modern times, people don't learn from Sefer Torah anymore. But there's the Rosh saying, what's going on? So the Minchas Elazar, the Munkacha Rebbe said, it's because in a case where the Torah writes the reason for something specifically, then the reason can affect the outcome. Again, the Rosh doesn't say that there's no longer a mitzvah to write the Sefer Torah. There is no mitzvah, but in addition, the Rush writes, in addition to writing Sefer Torah, also by buying, or by writing Sfarim, by writing a Gemara, by writing a Chumash, so that's also part of the mitzvah. Why? Because the Torah says, Kisru l'chamas ashir azos, b'lamda es b'nei Yisrael simu b'fiyam. So the Torah seems to say, the mitzvah is not just to write the Sefer Torah. The mitzvah is, write whatever Jews learn from. That's what it says. Kisru l'chamas ashir azos, v'lamda es b'nei Yisrael, teach it to the Jewish people, so where the reason is written before in the Torah, the reason is allowed to affect the halachas. Where the tam is before shpikra, then we say dashina time in the krah. It's a similar idea that we have here by sukkahs, because the Torah gives you the reason. It says basukkahs teishu shivas yomim, kol ha'ezach b'yisrael yeshu basukkahs l'man yidu dorosnechem kivat sukkahs hashavti. So the reason, when it comes to sukkahs, the reason why we sit in the sukkah actually plays more of a role than by istam mitzvah. If the Torah doesn't say the reason, so the reason is not significant. But if the Torah goes out of its way to tell you the reason, so here by Anan Yakovah, the reason is more significant. I want to wish everyone a great yantif. There's no shir during Kol Hamoed. So we're resuming Maseches Ksuvos after Sukkos.